This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the W12 podcast. I'm Ben Platt. Thank you for tuning in and listening again. We got some really good feedback off our last podcast with Marty Cifuentes. I had that on point last week.
Cifuentes.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Anyone who's new listeners, thanks for tuning back in. It's, you know, some lads chatting everything QPR, giving our opinions, rightly or wrongly, mostly wrongly. apart from Ainsworth. Thanks for listening. Anyway, let's crack on. Last time we did the podcast, it was two home games since. Hull and Plymouth, 4 points, no goals conceded. Bit of magic from Chair and Willock. Somehow didn't concede or score last night. I don't know how that stayed 0-0. But overall, we've got ourselves back into a really good place. Really important game coming up on Saturday at Sheffield Wednesday, which I think we've got to make sure we don't lose. I mean, obviously, we need to win, but I think not losing is as much important as that. And they're coming into us with a bit of form as well. But let's reflect. Let's introduce who we got on the pod, actually. That would be good, wouldn't it? Who we got here? Ollie, up the R's. Welcome back, mate. It's been a while.
Yeah, as a bit of a more positive note compared to what it was like last time I was on.
Isn't it? When was it? It was a while ago, wasn't it?
Ainsworth days. I think it was the week before Leicester. Can't remember what game it was, but we lost whatever it was because we were on 7 on the boats.
Nice. I'll come to you with get your Marty views a bit later, but welcome back, mate. It's Chris. Hello, mate.
In boys. I saw a win. I finally made it.
You there last night as well, weren't you?
Yeah. Fortunately, couldn't make it 2 in a row, but we'll get on to that game shortly, I'm sure.
You good though, yeah?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Things are much more positive, which definitely helps your mood, doesn't it? You're going into the Christmas period when QPR were still destined for relegation, then it's not much fun having your whole family be like, oh, you should be excited, it's Christmas. I'd be like, yeah, but my football team's absolutely shit. We're not in that position now. So
I told all my family I do not want anything QPR. This was about 3 weeks ago. I was like, don't buy me anything anyway. So about a week ago, I was like, so have you got me all my presents yet? She's like, I'll have that retro red and black one, please. She's like, ah. So I think she's ordered that for me. So I know what you mean. Doug, still smiling?
Always smiling. Well, since Marty's been in anyway.
Yeah, you good though?
Yeah, no, I'm all good. Getting in that festive spirit, like us picking up points in December is like a festive treat as well, isn't it? So that's a rarity.
Yeah, Jack that last week told us that some mad December stats that we've got, like terrible December. Yeah,
like just like QPR. Marty obviously heard those stats. So it was like, I'm changing that. Not having that.
Yeah, cool. Okay, Chris, I'll come to you first on Hull. 2-0 win, bit of magic from Willock, chair goal, Asmir Begovic, probably his best game for the club. I thought we rode our luck at times, but I mean, that's something I want to talk about later, about how much we're getting just the rub of the green, whereas with Ainsworth, we just didn't get any. But at least now, it's starting to come back around again. What was your views being at the game? What were your key takeouts?
I think the main point is, just Chair and Willock, that connection was back. It felt like we were 2 years of watching us had not happened. And we were kind of back in 2021. It was great to see them linking up, playing really well together. Something that fans had obviously wanted for ages, or kind of reminiscing about what we had. But there was always a point where you were like, will we ever get that back? Can Willock stay fit? Can he play 90 minutes? Can he play 2-3 games in a week? And or is he destined to go? But yeah, it was great to see. We scored, felt we just scored at the absolute perfect times, right before halftime. Kind of put their heads down, put our heads up. And then the second half, we wouldn't say we sat in, but we defended well. We did what we had to do, because I thought they were fairly decent. Their fans thought the complete opposite, which I guess suggests that they felt they played a lot better this season. But I thought it was a decent footballing game. It was a good watch for both sides. But yeah, Begovic was outstanding. I think definitely his best game for us. Very much kept us in the game. But just back on the Willock thing, the second goal came from, because that was his first full-out sprint I think we've seen in about 2 years. And that was right in front of me. And I was just being like, don't suddenly pull up here. Don't suddenly feel your hamstring. But he wanted it. That was full sprint. That wasn't, oh, I'm just going to put in 70% effort and make it look like I'm doing it here. Just positive all round, really.
We look much more solid, don't we? We look like there's a bit of a game plan. We look like we know. But what I will say is, and probably when we talk about Plymouth in a minute, there's still like a bit of Ainsworth in us, isn't there? There's still that bit of unease and a bit of us, there's that button, that panic button that just gets hit sometimes. And I just sometimes see it in little 5-10 minute parts of the game. I just see us falling back into it. But Dunk, obviously, Plymouth, thought we were lucky to not be 2 or 3-0 down after the first 15, 20 minutes. The red card kind of changes the game a bit. And then I thought they defended really well. It's one of them where the red card kind of stopped your second half, especially stopped the space for Chair and Willock. They really got compact in the second half, didn't they? Drew us out wide at every opportunity, made it more difficult for us. They had 5 or 6 centre-backs in there every time we got anywhere near the goal. And we just couldn't quite break them down. But what was your take, mate?
No, I completely agree. I feel like after 15 minutes, I was thinking, how are we not losing this game? We could, like you said, could be easier be 2-0 down. And I thought we started really sluggish. I know Marty made a few changes. But it just kind of felt that we just weren't in it. Obviously, the sending off massively changed the game in our favour. I reckon if Plymouth had kept 11 men, it could have been a completely different game. And I feel like we actually probably could have ended up losing it. That's how badly we'd started the game. It was a definite red card. Like, you've seen the replays and everything. He catches Chair high up. It was rash. No need for it. So that's stupidity on their half. But I just feel like we didn't really do enough to win it. I don't feel like we created enough. I know they sat deep and they made it hard for us, but it kind of felt like all these run of games, having a lot of games in a short space of time, kind of caught up with us last night. Just kind of felt we were tired and ran out of ideas.
That first 10, 15, 20 minutes, it was a bit like a hot potato, the ball. Ollie, I don't know what you thought. I don't think we didn't want it. Someone shouted at that exact point behind me when I was there, was saying, looks like no one wants the ball. It kind of felt a bit like that, didn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think for the first time under Marty, it looked like we were a bit cautious. And I think I kind of saw similar when we originally, when Stoke went down to 10 men, we just looked a little bit like we wanted to leave them to it. But again, I think it happens sometimes. I mean, with that team that was, it's a bit of a weird one because it was kind of the opposite of what we're used to playing recently, which was a bit strange, but I don't even know how to explain that one because it was confusing to watch.
Well, Plymouth Press does very well straight from the first whistle. They were on us, like, I don't know if we didn't expect it. I actually half expected to sit back a little bit and soak it up a little bit. But they were pressing as good as anyone I've seen Loftus-Rovers in. Right. And Kakai and Dunn, they were at sixes and sevens, really, weren't they? They were not, because I think that's going to happen sometimes under this, keep the ball, play out from the back. They were doing that every opportunity. As soon as Begovic, we were worried that when he was going to play it out with his feet, but he said he got to tap it to the centre back because the centre back's right next to him. Like Cook literally comes right next to him. But I was a bit surprised by the team news. I understand it. We said before about we're not sure if Cannon and Cook and Salter had 3 games a week in them legs. We were saying that before the game. I expected them to start, to be fair, but I can kind of understand them not starting. But I think it feels a bit like Marty, that he could just put a random team out. He's just going to put random teams out every now and again, and we're just going to be like, what the hell? I don't know, Chris, what do you think? Or Doug?
Yeah.
Or Ollie?
I think he has the confidence in... Well, maybe confidence is the wrong word. He wants to see more of the squad. And at the same time knows he can't just kind of rinse the same 11 to 13, 14 men every week, especially when you've got 3 games in a week. So I think he's so conscious of that. Multiple times he said, the wingers in my system get through an incredible amount of work. So that, to me, means if someone plays 2 games in a row, the third one, it's kind of like, oh, they're a bit dodgy here. And that's why Smith was obviously benched. The players who came in didn't take advantage of their opportunity. Thought Kelman wasn't good, but he's playing right wing and he's probably never played there before. He's a striker. So all of the runs that fans wanted him to make and are like, Smith does this, stay really wide, make that run in that gap. Kelman was like, it just natural instinct was to be drawn into as close to Dykes as possible. It was like,
he play on right wing?
Yeah. He was.
He was,
well, yeah. Yeah, that's where he was set up, but he wasn't playing it in the second half because he should have been right in front of me on the blooming touchline, and that's where he wasn't. And that's when the frustration comes, because I think Cifuentes knew how we needed to play against a team in a low block. Get two people as wide as you possibly can. You move the ball quickly across the pitch to them and find the gap with the triangles he was developing. But we were too slow on the ball. But to me, and I mentioned this to you boys either last night or this morning, Larkesh going off, I think, killed us. Because he is the perfect, he's the perfect fullback in that system. He stays wide, his energy, he'll always go on the outside every single time. That's what Chair and Willick really needed. As soon as he went off and we had to put Dixon Bonner right back, Cannon left back. Cannon's not left footed, so he's going to cut back every time. Not sprinting past like Larkesh does. And it was just, it was unfortunate. Because again, I think he showed a decent level when he did come on in those, he got maybe 20 minutes, maybe even more. But yeah, just a shame. And I think like Ollie said, it's one of those. I think in a couple of months' time, if we had the same game, I think the players would be up with the system and would be better to break that down. We'd find the space to get one or two.
I mean, I think it's testament to Marty as well, though, the fact that we're all a little bit disappointed we didn't win that game, whereas 6, 7, 8 games ago, we would have been like biting someone's hand off for a point at home. So I feel like our results have been, it's kind of like we've all getting ahead of ourselves again. Like, yes, we're doing well, won a few on the bounce, we haven't conceded for a few games, but we need to stay grounded. I feel like we're still in the relegation zone. I know we've closed the gap down to 1 point, like win on the weekend, and was a good chance we're out of it. But it is that sense of it was still a good point. I know it was against 10 men, but like we've said, they made it very difficult for us. Like there was clear signs of fatigue from certain players, players being rested. So a point is still a good point.
Yeah. I think with the starting lineup, I think that's one thing with Mart is he isn't scared to make those changes. And, you know, we saw how it worked at Preston. Everyone was like, why has Chair been dropped? He's brought him on and he's got a goal and a goal and assist or two assists, one or the other. And, you know, I think it's quite rare that we ever have a manager that's willing to make those changes. I remember it reminds me of when, was it Chris Ramsey made three subs at half time away to Fulham or something like that. You know, we've had managers that panic like that, but I think Marty's pretty calm and in control in terms of his lineup. He knows what he's doing. I think I saw a post earlier saying Charlie Kelman must train really well, but when he's on the pitch, he doesn't have the confidence. And, you know, he's been at the club quite a few years now and he's not barely been seen, to be fair. So he must be a very good in training to be even considered over Armstrong, who for me was the option that we really could have done with last night from the off. You know, he's nippy. He's not afraid to jump in with those challenges. And it surprised me that Kelman started over him, especially on the wing as well, where I think Armstrong is at his best.
I understood why Armstrong didn't come on, only because Preston in the second half literally went, they were basically on their goal line. And I'm not sure Armstrong would have done a lot. I don't know, you know, unless something fell to him. I thought Smith coming on sooner was the one that the one that I thought should have happened a lot sooner was getting him on. He should have been on half-time maybe, but at least on at sort of 50, 60 minutes. Because he was causing all sorts of problems. I know his delivery's rubbish sometimes, but, you know, it's repetitive, isn't it? He's going to just keep putting it in. One of them will come off. One of them will find someone. He's got to keep doing it. Which we started to do at times. We got three or four balls in, and then we wouldn't do anything for 20 minutes. Then we'd get so that was the one that frustrated me. I really liked Dixon Bonner when he come on. He did really well. Him, you're right, Chris. Him moving to right back, I didn't think it helped us in any way because he was just too far. Him in the middle was just controlling it and dictating it, and I thought he did really well coming on again. I said on the pod a few weeks ago, I'm not fully convinced about him. It's not to say he hasn't done well. I'm just not convinced he's the what, you know. But no, I thought, yeah, he's been all right since then, hasn't he? I'd like to see more of him.
Yeah, it was in the first 5 minutes after half time when he was in the position we want him in. It was like, right, I'm going to get on the ball as much as I can. I'm going to be the one trying to dictate things to move the ball quicker, because that's what we didn't have in midfield in the first half. And yeah, just very unfortunate in the position he had to end up in due to the Larkesh concussion. But I like the fact that Marty did that, because he could have just bought Aaron Drew on and gone, okay, well, I'll put you at right back because you are right back, and I'll put Cannon over to left back. Whereas he's like, no, we're going to have all the ball. I'm going to put a player who wants to get on the ball in that position and be like, almost you need to deal with it, Dixon Bonner, because you aren't going to have to do a huge amount of defending, but can get you in this area. The Smith one was the one. I think every fan in the ground was probably like, why is he not on already? And the first thing he did was get him behind and then a cutback that wasn't the greatest, but that was at least a positive sign.
I get it, though. I get it. You're hoping something's going to fall to Kelman, right? And maybe if he does get in the position, he can finish it because he's supposedly the best finisher in the club. So maybe that was the thinking, like, you know, ball's in the box, something's going to fall to him. So I kind of get it, but he should have been, whether it was for Kelman or not, Smith should have definitely been on sooner.
So you know, I have a bit of a controversial opinion here. I think, and I'm going to get slated for this by a lot of people, but I think one of our problems at the moment is coming from Sam Field.
Ollie, you've been missing. I've been saying this for the last few weeks, mate.
Off the ball, okay. Defensively, okay. In terms of him on the ball and his forward passing, and I don't think he works in Marty's system. I don't think he fits the team that we have at the moment. But it seems stupid to want to drop someone of the quality of Sam Field. But I don't think we can, because I don't think we have the player to sit in where he is. But I think he's holding us back a bit at the moment. And it's hard to say, but I can't see where what he does that another midfielder couldn't do and more at the moment.
After Saturday, my notes in front of me, I wrote down that's Field's worst game on the ball. Needs massive improvement.
He was awful.
Again,
he
last night.
Awful last
not
night.
Very good. And that's why at half time, when you saw the three who were coming on, you're like, great, he's going to take Field off. Admittedly, he was on a yellow after 90 seconds, which at the time you're like, I don't know why you're doing that. And then we saw them have three other counter-attacks after we lost the ball and they should have scored from us. So you're like, oh, well, you probably would have got booked eventually. Yeah, I fully agree with you, Ollie. He's very limited on the ball.
Yeah, so and he suited today as well, didn't he? He suited that style a little bit more. Like, he obviously was frustrated as anyone that we lose him, but in relation to style and reliance, he was quite heavy on that. We would never have took him off like Marty did it at Stoke, you know, we said that. But I always think Field's a better centre-back. I've said it for a while. He's a better centre-back. I'd like, you know, I know we don't play three at the back, but if we ever go back to that, I would have no issue with him filling in at right in centre-back. But the problem is, like you said, we don't have another. Our centre midfields are very limited, aren't they? I'm not a massive Dizel fan, if I'm honest. I like, you know, but, I don't know.
In that game last night, in the second half, it suited Dizel, though. That was the one where you're like, look, you can go and get the ball, you can sit in that position and you can move it quickly. And there were times at least he's trying to bang the ball in forward, but that is in a certain situation.
I think that's part of the problem with Sam Field. Like, I think he works better with someone like a Dixon Bonner alongside him, who he can almost give the little 5-yard ball to, and then Dixon Bonner can push on, play a forward pass, which is, I feel like he does more than Dizel does. So when you've got Field and Dizel together, like, it's almost like Dizel had that wonderful assist for Andre Gray, didn't he, all those years ago? What it feels like, and that's it. That's the only good pass I can actually remember him ever doing. Like, he just lacks that, and Field lacks that. So when they're both in the midfield, it's almost like they are fighting for one spot, those two. So when they play together, it doesn't work, and the system isn't, the balance isn't right.
It's mad, though, isn't
it?
I was just saying, it's mad that we're saying that about Sam Field, considering he, you know, was so good last season, really. But I'm just not sure he fits this style of play. And I think there'll be games where he'll come off, and there might even be games where he doesn't start. I don't know. I can see that in the future if we can get another centre midfielder in. I don't know. But there'll certainly be games where we'll need him.
The fear, if he doesn't play, and if Colbeck isn't playing either, then if you were to start Dizel and Dixon Bonner,
teams could cut through us.
Yeah. And that's why one of them has to play.
But yeah. Sam Field's had a contract, isn't it? In the summer, I heard someone say it at the ground yesterday. I've tried to check on it. Is that true? Have we got the 1 year on him?
Contract, yeah. Right. I think, yeah.
Well, I thought that, and if that is true, it's gone under the radar a little bit.
But yeah, the point you make is a great one. Like, he was player of the year by an absolute country mile last season. And now I don't even know how many games we're in, 20 games into the season, something like that. And we're like, okay, I think we could be best if he's dropped. That's mental. And really, we're kind of saying that off the back of Marty's 6 games, really.
Yeah.
But that's where you need to be. You need to have the right players for every system. Can he develop, or is he just going to take a little bit longer to clock? No, I need to be passing the ball forward all the time, rather than the sideways that he's kind of stuck on. Because that's the bit that needs to adjust to me. If he can get more into that position, and forward is your first line of thought, rather than keep it safe sideways back to a centre-back, then could be right.
What about, Ollie, what about Richards? I watched him at the game yesterday. He didn't look fit.
And
there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Saw a post from a while back the other day from a podcast we did, end of season player ratings. I won't say what I said at the end of that about Richards. I still think he's got quality, but I don't think his head's in it. And that's where the problem's lying. You know, I will sit on a post and sit here and back Richards up, but I need to see something from him. I need to see something from him. And no, he doesn't look fit, but surely within 6 games of Marty being here, if he saw something, a glimmer of something, you would hope to have seen a bit more of him by now. And it's not going to be long until I'm going to start saying, okay, yeah, like he's not great. But it's weird because I remember he came on last season. I can't remember what game. It was a home game.
It's Huddersfield.
Yeah, and he changed the game. He's got that in him. He kind of reminds me of what Ravel Morrison was to other clubs, but to us he was great. It's like we've got that version, that negative version of Ravel Morrison that does have that kind of ability. He doesn't have the mindset for it, but I'm hoping that Marty gets that out of him. But at the moment, we did that obligation to buy. And, you know, if Mick Beale is taking little bungs for transfers, then he's made a few hundred quid here, then he's done a binder because he ain't doing much. And he needs to pick it up. And, you know, I think when you look at how Taylor Richards came in, you compare how Dixon Bonner came in. There's no comparison to them now. Dixon Bonner looks like he could be a genuinely really decent championship midfielder. Taylor Richards looked like he wouldn't be out of place in League Two at the moment. And that's annoying.
Didn't you give Richards 5 out of 10 at the season end? Was it six?
just off my opinion of what he can do in the future. Now I look back, I just look an absolute knob. But you know,
it's almost as bad as Chris's take on Kelman.
When he was in the starting lineup yesterday, I was like, "This is my moment. I'm going to come on the pod tomorrow night after he scored a winner." And then I'm watching, I'm thinking, "Oh God, no! I'm going to have to backtrack." But oh my God, Taylor Richards was horrendous last night. Just 20 touches on the ball, dribbling into 3 men, when surely he's been told, right, you're in this position, but what we've got to do, we've got to move the ball quickly. That's what we're in. 2 touches, bang, keep it moving, get the ball wide. Honestly, I just didn't get it.
He stayed in a little, like, I don't know, 10 by 10 square for the whole game, like, for the time he was on, that little, on the right, like the little...
Yeah, in that pocket, yeah.
It felt like he was just in that pocket all the time, but you'd want him to just sort of get the ball and go, right, give me the ball, like, let me... Wasn't really doing that, was he? I don't know. There's obviously a lot more to it. There must be. Must be more to the story that we're not... We don't know. But... What I was saying after the game was, on the way home, was that for him to find some form, someone's going to have some real faith in him, and he needs like 3 or 4 or 5 games on a bounce, like continually just playing and getting him up to speed. And I just can't see that happening. unless it's another pre-season.
We're not in a position to do that, are we? That's the problem. We like every point for us at the minute is vital. We can't have passengers, and that's at the minute what he is.
Ollie, we haven't really spoken to you since Marty's come in. You've been impressed with him, I take it?
Definitely. I think it shows what you can do with this team when you bring in a football manager and not a long ball manager. I think when he originally came in and we got the draw, we're like, okay, decent. Then the second draw came along and you're like, okay, a bit concerning that we're not winning. But, you know, it's going three on the bounce against decent teams, in fairness. It's really good. I think Stoke game was... I was a bit worried in the first half because I thought we looked a little bit up against it. But then late on the second half, we looked superb. I think Hull, we did exactly what Ainsworth tried to do in terms of... We play like that under Ainsworth, we would have lost that game. Same as last night, we would have lost that game. But Marty has inspired these players. I mean, the things he's done with the likes of Willock and Cher. I mean, I didn't think we'd see Willock again. You know, I hadn't seen Willock sprint in about 6 months. And to see him, 6 months, a year, you know, to see him chasing the ball down and all that kind of stuff is brilliant. I think there's a lot of concern when Marty is brought in at this stage. I think a lot of us, when the rumours of Warnock being the one, we're like, oh, okay, that's the man who keeps us up. But, and I was saying, you know, I don't want anyone else other than Warnock. But to see Marty come in, there are a lot of people, and probably most won't admit, they'll be like, okay, this could be a bit of a risky move for this point of the season. But he's proved exactly why we should have been going abroad for managers for a lot longer. You know, we've gone for Critchley, gone for Ainsworth, like the most Brexit ball managers you could probably go for. And then we've gone and got a Spanish manager that's come in and done an absolute blinder of a job so far. So, yeah, I'm impressed with him. I'm impressed with his football. And I think most of all, I'm impressed with his interviews. I think he speaks like fantastically. Oh, wow. I think he's got a winning mentality. You know, for him to turn around and, you know, when we get a win, he's not smiley and like going up to fans going, yeah, yeah. He's taking it serious. He's like, you know, remain humble. We didn't play great, but we got the win. It's a points game. I like him. You know, I'm not trying to blow his trumpet, but he's bloody good. He's really good.
Yeah, agree with everything there, Ollie. Dunk, you've mentioned it a couple of times and staying grounded and stuff like that. How far do we take this love in? Because football changes quickly, doesn't it?
It does. It just draws back to what he said last week when I asked him about the short, medium and long-term plans he has. And it's just win the next game, win the next game, win the next game. Like, he clearly is just taking it game by game and he wants to win every game or goes out to try and win every single game. And you actually feel like he has a plan to win different games and to win in different ways. Like, obviously, we're all excited. We're playing better football when we're getting results. But like I said earlier, we're still in the relegation zone. We're still at the wrong end of the table and there's still a long way of the season to go. So it's, like I said, be grounded. Let's enjoy this little crest of a wave we're on. But just let's hope it stays and if you don't just drop off, the form doesn't drop off like it normally does in the second half of the season.
Chris, am I mad to think that the back... I tweeted it in the week. This back five, we can keep it fit, is as good a back five as we've had for years. I find it difficult for me to say it, but I actually do believe it, that like Begovic, Kenneth Powell, Salter, Cook, Reggie Cannon is as good a back... That's a decent back five. That is not getting relegated, is it?
I won't commit to replying to that question. But in terms of whether it gets relegated, but it is good. I think one thing I wanted to mention about yesterday, like that Steve Cook on the ball, I don't think that's something you would expect from him or rate him on, but he was very just calm and composed, right pass every time. And I know that comes from like experience and a leadership position, but that was good to see. Like balls coming out of the sky, controlling it really well. And you're like, you've basically been brought in to be a leader, to be that defender who throws himself in front of everything. But even in a game like that, he was very good. I mean, And someone say this is the first time we've kept three clean sheets since like 2018 or something.
Man, that is like five years.
Absolutely nuts. When
considering where we were
in perspective, yeah. Yeah, it was like how we couldn't buy a clean sheet. If the owners wanted to sponsor a clean sheet, we couldn't do it. But yeah, that's worked out. And the whole, I know you're kind of talking about teams got elements of Ainsworth. When we were 2-0 up against Hull, I wasn't actually worried for the first time in forever. I was like, actually, I feel pretty confident we're kind of going to get through here. Admittedly, because we got the second at 1-0, yeah, I would have been nervous. But yeah, that was very good to see. So if we can get that as a solid base, albeit you know that Dunn's going to have to play games and Kakai will come in for the odd game here and Larkesh will, etc. But yeah, it's not like, okay, Chair and Willick need to get us three goals for us to stand any chance of winning a game.
That was my question, actually, was are we too reliant on them to do something? And if they don't do something, you know, the chances of us winning a football match it's a kind of obvious statement, I guess, if your main two players don't turn up, but still feel like we're still heavily reliant on them. What have they got? Is it four goals and assists each or something between them since Marty's come in? I mean, that's a hell of a lot of the goals and assists that we've done since he's come in. I don't know. It was a question I had, actually.
The thing is, we were saying it before at the start of the season, like, we struggle for creativity. Like, so if those two aren't performing, we are going to struggle. Like, Smith, like, I thought it was quite telling that when he came on, most of his crosses yesterday were along the ground. Like, he was drilling low balls in, which is unusual for him because normally he hits some rose head or corner flag. So whether he's been told, get the ball low, keep it low, I think he's desperate for an assist. I know he got his goal the other week against Preston, confidence. He needs to get a couple of assists like Chair and Willick have to get that form, like confidence flowing. But yeah, like, creativity is an area we're lacking in. But I just want to jump back to the defence situation and just say it's a bit weird one for me. I want to give a well done to Gareth Ainsworth for getting Begovic, Cook and Cannon in, because they have actually done really well under a new manager. But obviously they were signings under him, so let's give him a little round of applause for getting them through the door.
Anyone round of applause? No.
Yeah. How he got Reggie Cannon on free is beyond me. It's, but you know, someone like Reggie Cannon,
honestly, I'm not saying that. I mean, I don't know about Cook, and Cook's, we've been trying to get Cook for years, right? Asmir Begovic isn't signing for QPR for Gareth Ainsworth. No offence. I don't think that was the case.
That's the most positive thing I've ever said about Ainsworth, and you've just ruined it.
I've just ruined it. I'm so sorry. I don't think that Reggie Cannon is someone who Ainsworth has got in his notebook. I just can't see it. I think it's recruitment, isn't it? I don't know. And maybe that was one reason why it didn't work out as well as it did, because what we've been told, he didn't get a lot of his targets that he wanted to bring in, whoever they were. But I don't know. Sorry, Ollie, you were going to say something, mate.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say. If Gareth Ainsworth was the selling point, then I don't know how on earth we got him in. But what a coup, in fairness. What a signing he's been. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say he's been great because he hasn't played a huge amount. But when he's played, it's the difference, isn't he? Like, he him down that right hand side. And I'm not a hater of Kakai. I don't think he's terrible. I think that yesterday I genuinely think I'd have done a better job at right back than Kakai yesterday. But you can see the quality. When that back line of Cook, Clark, Salter, Powell and Cannon, that is a top six back four on its day, genuinely. And that's a big shout. But I will say that I think when both our fullbacks are fit and playing the way they are, I think arguably probably the best fullback set up there in the league, if not top six standard, those two.
And what we're doing is when we're keeping the ball, right, they're not having to defend for 75 minutes of a game, right, where they can't make a single mistake. They've got to be bang on every ball that comes in, 100, you know. So when we've got the ball, they only have to defend less, and that benefits them because they're good defenders. So the less they have to defend and run back, and, you know, it benefits them, right? So that I think that we've benefited from that. Being able to keep the ball has meant that when we do defend, I just think these players can defend. There's less reliance on not making one mistake, you know, and I don't know. That's my view on it. What do we think then? So, well, we've got Sheffield Wednesday coming up. 6-6-pointer for them, I think. I just, like I said at the start, I think it's a game we can't lose. I just hate being overly optimistic at any game. I don't know why. It's like I hate it. I was optimistic on Wednesday. I put 6-0 on Sky
you
Bet.
You bet on 6-0? Like,
no, what? Right. So I was with my uncle, right? And he was in my ear the whole time going, we're going to win 6-0, we're going to win 6-0. And I thought, I've got to do it now. He said it like three times. And I just thought, it was like 250-1. I thought, I'm going to put a quid on. That's how optimistic I was. Yeah. So am I wrong? Is anyone else optimistic?
What would you put on, like Dyke's hat trick as well?
I'm literally never 6-0 optimistic about anything.
Nah, I know. Yeah, I know.
That's a shout out to good old friend of the pod, Matt Clegg. He used to come out with 7-8-0 every week.
Yeah, hoping that one day it would come in, like put a quid on it every week and one day it will come in. What are we thinking then? And same, what team selection?
Well, Smith got back in.
Yeah, Cannon back in.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see the back five, as we've mentioned, and then Fielding, Dixon, Bonner, and then the four up front. I mean, I don't know. It's a big pitch, isn't it, Hillsborough?
Yeah. I think that's the kind of formation and team that would cause them problems. And actually, that's what us as fans want to see. We want to see us going there and actually going for the game and trying to get the win because we need it. Like you said, it's a 6-pointer for us as well as it is for them. We win that and we could be out of the relegation zone if results go our way. Like, so it is a massive game for both teams, but we've got to go for it. We can't go there and be like, let's just play for a point, which is what Ainsworth would have done. And I can't see Marty doing that. I think he'll go there with an attacking threat, thinking attack's the best form of defence.
We've got to start better. That's my point. We've got to start a game really up, like really go for it. But I don't know whether we will, but I'd imagine that they'll be up for it. Possibly.
We can't start worse in terms of on the ball, touchwood, than we did on Wednesday. Like, to give the ball away about three times in the same area of the pitch, that can't and won't happen. But one thing I just wanted to mention earlier. I like the way we kick off now. We are on the front foot.
Oh yeah, we go forward, don't we? We are
putting
that.
People forward, chair on the ball, out to Powell, and we are on the attack. That is, I don't think we've ever done that. It's just the usual thing, knock it back to the centre-back, hoof it forward to a header you're never going to win. In the best case scenario, we win a throw-in. Like, that was just so depressing. So now that's really positive. And I think we just look forward to what just playing now. This game under Ainsworth, we would have been like, oh, like you said, oh my God, this is going to be... Like, you're sitting on the... Well, basically hiding behind a pillow, more so than on the edge of your seat, like excited about it. So you know you're going to see us, have an attacking intent. If we can beat a team that's 7 points below us to go 10 points above them, that hurts them a huge amount, gives us a massive boost. Even if everybody above us wins, you're still staying in touch and building that positivity. But I still won't predict us to win because I'm not confident enough to still do that.
You're not nowhere near these people that are putting bets on us to be in the top six, talking about bets. Have you seen it? There's loads of people. We've come right down
the conversation. And I know it's funny to joke around that people doing that, but at least we do have that positivity. That's what he's brought. That's the stuff we're watching now. Like,
I've not seen any team though. Like, I still haven't seen any. You know, at the start of the season, we were saying this is going to be the best championship in years and stuff. Absolute rubbish. I look back at all the games I've watched and I can't think of a team that I've gone, I mean, you know, you've got your Leicesters and your Leeds, stuff like that. Like, but I meant outside of then. You tell me, don't tell me then with your funny face, who's massively impressed you like this.
You've got Leicester and Ipswich at the stage of the season. We've got the highest points totals out of any championship.
I meant that we've played is what I mean. Like, what I'm saying is we played Preston and they were 67th.
When we've watched us play, I've seen us go, wow, they have been absolutely amazing against us. I agree, we've not been completely played off the park by anybody. We've not been torn apart by anybody. But it is still a competitive league, and we know that every game is either winnable or losable. Like, you don't go in Championship and go, oh, we ain't going to win today. I mean, even the Leicester game, we all thought, we ain't going to win today. But it was a close game, and we could have got something on another day. Like, one of their goals was deflected. Like, that's the small errors, like, in small margins in the Championship. But I get your point is, like, no one has completely come and, like, tore us apart and outplayed us and outclassed us. I get that.
What I mean is, considering where we are, have been in the league, I still haven't seen us, anyone. I haven't seen any team, trying to think, really. Sunderland were quite good, weren't they, therefore?
But we had a man sent off. And I guess that's the difference.
Watford, first game in the season.
but we were so bad that day. I mean, the Sunday League team could have beat us that day.
That was horrible.
Honestly, I don't. How do you consider? Oh, I don't even reflect on it. Makes me angry after 30 seconds of a first game of the season. Oh, anyway, all right, lads. First game. Predictions for Saturday, quickly. Do we ever get these right? We need to look back, don't we?
2-0, QPR.
2-1 QPR.
Oh.
1-1.
I went 2-0 earlier, so I'm going to stick with 2-0 with Ollie. Yeah. Guys, it's too optimistic for us, isn't it?
but that's what Marty Ball does.
It feels wrong. It just feels wrong.
Someone needs to, we need to be humble, don't we?
Don't say that, Ollie, now, because we know what's going to happen. We're going to get humbled now. That's it. You've put the jinx on us.
Anyone want to mention anything else we've mentioned? Any moans or groans or
just a quick one on bets.
I'll tell you what, yeah, go on.
Just on the bets, I really hope we don't get relegated just so that idiot the second tier podcast is bet goes down the pound.
Mr. Dilks.
Mr. Dilks, yeah, fucking knobhead.
If anyone, just leave it now. Let's stay up and then we just give it to him all last day of the season, like stay up or whatever we stay up and everyone just gives it to him.
Is it true it was $6,000 or is that just?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was like a 200-1 because he's got Leicester and Ipswich, which is like top two or whatever, us and Wednesday to be relegated.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I thought he meant as in he'd had $6,000 on us just to be relegated.
No, he got the 200-1 thing, yeah.
Yeah. We have one thing I did want to say, the crowds are great at home, aren't they? Like last season, it was all about the away support in relation to what amount of people. I just find every game I go to is, again, yesterday was just out of nowhere. It just got really busy. Like I thought, it's going to be this is a normal Wednesday game. But then all of a sudden I looked around and it was pretty full. I think it was 16,500 there.
Yeah, obviously, for Plymouth, a midweek in December, 2 weeks before Christmas.
Outrageous. So fair play to the fans. They stuck by this team. Even under Ainsworth, we would never turned up knowing we're not going to win. In the numbers, so yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that. But all right, that's
something we can probably get into on another podcast. But like the fact that it's so busy, particularly in the Stan Bowl stand, it's basically impossible to like get through anywhere at half time. So something we can, like I said, dive into another time. But like, do we think the club have ever spoken to the homeowners behind there and gone, we want 10-15 meters of your garden? And we'll pay you X money so we can get that land and move it back. Because it seems such a logical solution. But I do appreciate you'd have to get every single one of them to agree, which is incredibly difficult. But it's a conversation I have near enough every game. I'm like, really hope this happens in the future.
It's a fan forum question.
Yeah, it is mad though. Did you know what? We were in the safe standard. I've got to say, half time and for the game, there's loads of room. Great.
Absolutely, like, never in the other one. But yeah, no, we can bring that up at another point.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, lads. Well, thanks for coming on. Have a great evening, and let's hope you get a win on Saturday. Yours.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.